I'm saying tantric samaya or dancing vows are described as a sacred bond sometimes between teacher and student. Can anyone who doesn't hold vows or has taken vows but broken them, can they gain realization and give transmission? I think what I'm asking really is realization only possible if you hold unbroken vows with a teacher?
That's a sort of a mysterious subject when approached in that language. Everybody, or many people, let's say, will take advantage of New Year's Eve to make a resolution. Then it gets broken the next day, or the next week, or the next month. Or some people may actually keep those resolutions. I think one needs to look at vows in terms of their function rather than what can happen or what can't happen. In this particular context of gaining realization, there's an element of mystery that's added there, that you can't gain realization if you've broken the vow or something. I think it's more important to look at what happens when you can't control your life. And making vows, even to yourself, is really important. I will do this. And we need to make promises to ourselves because we fluctuate in terms of our capacity to do what we want to do, what we think is right, what we think is ethical, moral, or whatever, creative. So, if I have a desire to do something, if I'm motivated to learn to play an instrument, sing a song, or do whatever, I have to practice it. I have to do that. And there'll be times when I feel I'm too tired, there's this to do, there's that to do. And being able to say, no, I'm going to push on regardless and do this. If you do that, if you take advantage of the fact that you can keep a promise to yourself and maintain it, then you can do something with your life. It might not always be beneficial to others or whatever, but if you want to do something, even if you want to be a sort of a fascist dictator, you've got to work at it, you know. No one becomes a fascist dictator by lying in bed every day. That doesn't happen. You've got to do whatever you do. So I'm not necessarily saying the result is always good, but let's stay on the side of doing something good. You actually have to proceed with it. So vows are important. Vows you make to yourself are important. Now, it can help people keep vows, keep promises, if there's something outside themselves they can rely on, something that gives them encouragement. So if you're in relationship with a teacher and you make the vows in the context of that teacher, then that helps you keep them. So really, that is the most important thing. Now, if you break them and they're made in the context of the teacher, then if you keep them broken, or if you don't remake them, because everyone breaks them, one breaks vows all the time, but one remakes them, reestablishes them, one reestablishes them because it's important. Now, if you don't re-establish them, then obviously the relationship with the teacher wasn't important because you've got something more important in mind. So if you analyze it in that way, you can see what the problem is going to be. So gaining realization, if that's what's important and it's linked with the teacher, then you're saying, well, the teacher is unimportant, and what I learned from the teacher is unimportant, And therefore, the whole question of realization actually becomes unimportant. And what becomes important is me and the me process. That's why it doesn't work. It's not that there's something magical involved there, that because I've not done this, I'll never gain realization. There's actually something to understand there. And so I think it's important that this is explained properly in a step-by-step process of what everything means when one does that. So if I was to say, I'm not interested in my teachers anymore, those from whom I learned all this stuff, then what am I saying? I made promises to them, but I'm ignoring them now. That would be really peculiar. I mean, I wouldn't trust anybody who did that. So it's a matter of honoring your own life, really, of what you've done with it. You've got to honor all your involvements and what you've done there. I mean, maybe you make mistakes. That also happens. But when it does, you take that into account and you take a different direction. But, you have to value the history. And if you value the history and you've engaged as well as you can, then that's something to be honored. And that's something you can offer other people. What you can't offer other people is a history of having changed your mind all the time and gone this way, that way, and made it up yourself. That doesn't really work that well. I always think about, what's it called? There's this other form of musical notation. What's it called? Tabulation or something. Tablature, yes. I looked at it once and I thought, I think I'd rather learn proper music, because this is actually not that much easier. It's supposed to be easier, but actually it's a crude system. I never learned music, but I wouldn't learn tablature. But I think as a shortcut, it's not a very good one. I think the thing to do is to learn music, and if I had the time, that's what I'd do. But yes, vows, they're part of the mechanism of everyone's life, whatever they do. If you want to do anything more than survive, you need to be able to make promises to yourself, because we're inconsistent as human beings. We find it hard to follow straight lines with anything because we get tired. We get bored. Now, anything you're going to learn is going to be boring in parts. It's not fascinating to learn to play scales over and over and over again. That's not interesting, but it's an essential part of becoming a musician. You have to go through that in order to develop those skills. So vows are helpful from that point of view. And if you always simply follow your impulse, then I've never heard anyone who did that and really got anywhere with it. Maybe they had fun.
Maybe not everyone around them.
Maybe not.
When you talk about gaining realization, could you say what that actually means? What is gaining realization?
Well, I was never interested in it. It seems that people out there want enlightenment. I was never particularly interested in enlightenment or realization. I wanted to go out to India and Nepal and meet Nagpas. I had no idea of actually becoming one, or anything, and I've always been happy to be a functioning member of a religion, whatever the outcome. Realization is simply the experience of non-duality, which you can gain that and lose it. It comes and goes, it flickers, it flashes, and the more you can stabilize it, the easier life becomes. But I've never had it as a goal. You know, I practice because I'm a Nyingma. That's what Nyingmas do. That's what I wanted to become. That's what I became. And I've been quite happy with that.
And is it automatically a problem if it is a goal?
Well, being goal-oriented is tricky. Trungpa Rinpoche, one of his books is called Path Without Goal. And one needs to enjoy the process. If you don't enjoy the process and you prioritize the goal, then the process becomes worthless. It's just something to be got through, you know. So the meal is not just the eating. The meal is the preparation. The meal is the going to the grocery shop to buy the ingredients, and it all needs to be enjoyable, not just eating the meal. Or maybe not even eating the meal. Maybe it's defecation. That's the goal. To me, the goal orientation is a problem. The goal can be inspiring, naturally, when you meet people like Dudra Rinpoche, who's the epitome of the goal. It's highly inspiring. But then somehow, you know, you don't have to get there as well. I think if you get there, it's accidental. That's fine. But I don't see making a big fuss about it.